Day, reflections on what it means to be Anabaptist. We had another one in May, and then now we have this one as well. And just as a reminder, what we're commemorating is an event that happened in January 1525 in Zurich, Switzerland. It's the first recorded baptism we have, adult believers' baptism, breaking officially with the state church. And those who were baptized one another at that gathering they had been followers of the Reformed priest, Ulrich Zwingli, there in Zurich, but were moving farther beyond the reforms that he was wanting to make. It was a significant event, but we now understand that there were things happening all around Central Europe that were similar sorts of things that ultimately coalesced to become the movement we know now as Anabaptism. And one of the things that was happening was in the German city of Nuremberg, where there were very similar debates going on to what was happening in Zurich. These were not with Reformed leaders, but in this case, they were Lutheran leaders. But again, there were those who were wanting to move farther beyond the reforms that were being instituted and do even more. And central to what was going on in Nuremberg was a man named Hans Denk. Denk was headmaster of the local school there, and he was coming to many of the same conclusions that those Swiss brethren in Zurich were on matters like baptism and communion and justification. And it turns out that on the very same day that those folks were gathered in Zurich and performing those baptisms, Hans Denk was being banished from the city of Nuremberg. And he was told that he could never again step foot within 10 miles of the city or he could be put to death. His property was seized and it was held to support the wife and the child that he was forced to leave behind. Well, Denk went on to become a leader among Anabaptist groups in Augsburg and later on in Strasbourg. And in fact, in August 1527, there was a gathering that Denk presided over in the city of Augsburg. It was a gathering that came to be known as the Martyrs' Synod because so many of the people that were there eventually lost their lives because of their faith. And at that gathering, the people were commissioned to go out to various places to spread the news of their understanding of the gospel. And Denk himself was sent to the city of Basel, Switzerland, where he would die a few months later of the plague. Now, Hans Denk was one of the folks who wrote extensively about an important theological concept for these early Anabaptists. It's a concept that we are wanting to highlight today. It was something that was known in the German language at the time as Gelassenheit. Now, Gelassenheit is a little bit difficult to translate directly into English. If you go into Google Translate and type it in, you're going to see that it tells you that it means serenity. Or the possible understandings include composure and calmness. And that's certainly an aspect of it, but that's not really what doesn't capture what the Anabaptists were talking about when they used that term. So last month, the Mennonite Church USA convention gathered in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I went to a seminar that was titled Gelassenheit, A Way of Loving Releasement. It was a seminar led by Eric Massoneri. Eric currently serves as conference minister of Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference. He actually grew up right here in Lombard. And in the materials for the seminar, Eric writes, Gelassenheit found its way into the language of Christian spirituality through the writing and teaching of the 14th century German Dominican priest, mystic, and theologian Meister Eckhart. Eckhart suggested in his mystical writings that we come closest to God, the innermost ground of our being, not through pathways of accumulating theological knowledge, pietistic fervor, or spiritual experience, but through a process of letting go and releasing many of our presumptions and attachments, including our assumptions about God. In Eckhart's own words, for as long as you want more and more, God cannot dwell or work in you. So glossonite became understood at the time among many Christians. The terms of this letting go, this release, releasing our presumptions, our attachments. And Denk builds on this when he writes, "There is no other way to blessedness than to lose one's self-will." And so this notion of surrender, of yielding to God's will, that's what Anabaptists meant by that term, glossonheit. Mennonite historian Robert Frieden describes glossonheit this way. He says, "The one who through yieldedness seeks to follow Christ along the narrow path has to overcome all self-centeredness and has to open his heart to a loving and subsequently usually suffering attitude." Now, it doesn't take much to notice that this concept of glossonheit, of yieldedness, flies in the face of so much of what we see around in our culture today, right? I mean, we're taught we need to seek achievement, to forcefully assert ourselves, to strive for what we want. Surrender, well, that just means giving up. Yielding, it's capitulation. Suffering, well, that's something we want to avoid at all costs. Our scripture for this morning, though, offers a different perspective. And here Jesus challenges the assumptions of his time and of our time as well, as he holds up a child as an example of what it means to be truly great. And so doing, I think, gives us insight into glossonheit. Now, it's interesting. Mark and Luke, their version of this very same story, it begins, the disciples are actually having an argument among themselves about which one of them is the greatest. Matthew's a little kinder to the 12. He doesn't include anything about the argument. He just has them coming to Jesus and asking this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in all three Gospels, Jesus responds by calling this child and holding him up as an example of true greatness. In Matthew, Jesus declares, "Those who humble themselves like this little child will be the greatest in the kingdom." Now, calling a child to come in and be part of this adult conversation would have been pretty shocking in this culture. Children were held in very low regard as far as social status. In fact, the word that's translated here as little child is very closely related to the word for servant or slave. That's basically the level that children were regarded. And so introducing a child into a deep theological discussion probably would have made the disciples quite uncomfortable. But of course, Jesus did that a lot. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with Samaritans and women of questionable repute. Greatness, according to Jesus, is not about power or wealth. It's not about how much knowledge we accumulate, not how much influence we have. It's not about success and accomplishment. True greatness, says Jesus, is found in humbling oneself and becoming childlike. Now it's important here, I think, to understand a distinction here between what Jesus is calling us to be childlike as opposed to being childish. Jesus doesn't counsel his disciples to behave like children in every way. I mean, children, let's face it, children can be pretty self-centered. Every parent has likely had that experience, a period when their kid's favorite word is mine. It's an appropriate developmental stage that children go through as they discover the autonomy that they have, but healthy psychosocial development means we move beyond that to a point where we know and understand it's not all about me. And unfortunately, we can probably all point to adults we know that may have not quite gotten to that stage, and I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. He's not encouraging us to be immature, to be childish. Instead, Jesus calls us to be childlike. In particular, the quality that he holds up here is to be humble. Those who humble themselves like this little child will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now again, anybody who spends a lot of time with children will know that they're not always humble. They can be pretty arrogant, boasting about accomplishments, disregarding other feelings. And oftentimes, let's face it, this sort of arrogance is a way of covering up, masking the insecurities and self-doubt that a lot of kids experience. And again, we can probably all point to adults we know who behave in very similar ways. That's the humility that Jesus is talking about here, then, is a recognition of the low regard that society tends to have for children. And the word that's used here for being humble, this is the same word that Jesus uses later on when he tells his disciples, all who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. It's the same word that's on the lips of Mary in the Magnificat when she proclaims, "He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." It's the same word that the Apostle Paul uses in writing to the church at Philippi when he describes Jesus as humbling himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so to become humble like a child is to accept low social standing. It's not about beating yourself up. It's not about having low self-esteem. It is about accepting, recognizing our vulnerability. It's understanding that just as children are often helpless without the support and nurture of a responsible adult, so too we are helpless apart from God. That's the very essence of Gelassenheit, of which the Anabaptist spoke. Paradoxically, it is only by letting go of our drive towards achieving higher status, accepting our childlike vulnerability, that we are able to be raised up by God into the kingdom. Now, having said this, I need to emphasize that Gelassenheit is not an entirely passive stance. It's the yieldedness to which we are called is the yielding of our selfish desires in order to participate fully and actively in the work that God is doing. Hans Denk described active self-surrender when he writes, "If I run in the truth, that is, if I run sufferingly, then my running will not be in vain." Now, here again, I think we can find some inspiration from the childlike qualities that Jesus encourages, because children are rarely passive, right? Children are regularly, might even say constantly, pursuing growth. Children are curious. They're eager to know more. They work to increase their abilities. They're willing to experiment, to try new things, seek out new experiences. They're often engaging in the world with wide-eyed wonder, joyfully, creatively interacting with their environment. And that sense of wonder is often lost among adults as we grow cynical and stuck in our ways. One of the challenges I've set for myself in recent months is to work at moving from worry to wonder. There's a lot that we can worry about these days. I mean, genocide in Gaza, trampling on rights of immigrants, climate change, gun violence, the list is seemingly endless. But Jesus invites us to approach all of these great valid concerns not with paralyzing worry, but with childlike wonder. How might we set aside our assumptions so that we can creatively engage in actively resisting these evils in our world? How could we give up our presumptions, our prejudices, in order to see how God is already at work all around us? How might we surrender our need to control what's going on and allow a new and creative work to come forward among us? Moving from worry towards wonder, I think, is an important way of living out Gelassenheit today. And one vital way to make that movement is by being willing to be childlike. And what is it that children spend most of their time doing? They play, right? I mean, when they aren't being required to do their chores or study their lessons, children will most often engage in play. In fact, most parents and teachers will tell you that even when they are supposed to be doing their chores and their lessons, they are playing instead. But the truth is that even in that play, children often are learning and they are growing. Somewhere along the way to adulthood, a lot of us lose that sense of playfulness. I mean, we still may play a game so long as we have very clearly defined rules to follow and can figure out who wins and who loses. Or we're happy to watch highly paid professionals play games that we may have once competed in for fun. But true playfulness, engaging in creative imagination, that's something that a lot of us adults don't do very much of. Again, this sort of childlike play may be a way of experiencing Gelassenheit. We need to be willing to set aside our pretenses, to take down this facade that we like to put up of responsibility in order to follow the way of Christ. We need to allow ourselves to be humbled, perhaps even humiliated, so that the work of the kingdom can be accomplished through us. We need to creatively, imaginatively, playfully, vulnerably make ourselves available for the plans that God has. Eric Massonary writes, "A contemporary reframe of Gelassenheit for our life of Christian faith today might be this. Gelassenheit is loving releasement. It is being released from conditions, attachments, relationships, pretenses, and assumptions that constrain our living, confine our faith. It is being released into a life that is radically truthful, vulnerably disarmed, compassionately engaged with the world as it is, here and now. This liberation is made possible by the grace-filled ground of love within us and underlying the whole of life." Eric concluded his seminar by sharing a humble, creative, playful poem. A poem written by Sherry Hostetler, who pastors at First Mennonite Church in San Francisco. The poem is entitled Instructions, and Sherry writes, "Give up the world, give up self, finally give up God. Find God in rhododendrons and rocks, passersby, your cat. Pair your beliefs, your absolutes. Make it simple. Make it clean. No carry-on luggage allowed. Examine all you have with a loving and critical eye, then throw away some more. Repeat. Repeat. Keep this, and only this, what your heart beats loudly for, what feels heavy and full in your gut. There will only be one or two things you will keep, and they will fit lightly in your pocket.